Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ball Not Court podcast host Cortez Paul, along with my co-host Kevin Carter. I want to thank you folks for tuning in today and listening to the show. Basically, we cover basketball, football, NCAA, or anything that's related to current events with a humorous twist to it, at least. You can follow the podcast at BIOC Podcast at X or Twitter. We're also on Instagram at the same name, BIOC Podcast. And you go to our YouTube channel. That's also BIOC Podcast. Our Facebook page is Balls Not Court Podcast. So if you could please just give us a like, shout, comment on any of those, and definitely subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Balls Not Court Podcast. Thank you very much. Welcome to the Ball Not Court podcast. Cortez Paul is here. Paul Mack is joining me today. Mr. Mack, how you doing this afternoon, sir?
Not too bad, my man. It feels good to do a little early afternoon show. So it's nice to not have to pack it into the evening.
I know, man. This is crazy. Usually you was watching the show and Kev was coming off work, so we always have to do it at night. So, but nonetheless, we're here during the afternoon. So you're right. We can record this bad boy and do what we got to do and attend to what we got to attend to. So, hey, nonetheless, let's get right into it, man. So, hey, man, week five, week football in general just been going just bananas. What's a phrase that you can describe week five, my man?
There's a lot of fugazi football teams in the NFL this year, man. There's a lot of teams that I think we thought were good, might not be that good. There's only one elite team, and I think we both know who that is right now. But on a week-to-week basis, it's just you don't know. Like you look at the schedules, you look at the matchups, and you think teams are going to win games they're supposed to win, and they're not winning. So I'm just gonna, it's just a lot of just mediocre football being played by a lot of teams. And it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out going forward.
Yeah, no, it's unorthodox. It's strange. It's hard to pinpoint. And some of the couple of phrases I want to describe it, you sit here and look at some of these games that have been like one-sided and teams that, like you mentioned, that we thought was supposed to be halfway decent to contenders are just getting smashed. And then some of these other teams that are halfway decent getting beat by bad teams. So It's a weird place right now trying to figure out. But that's also the beautiful thing about football, too. Parity is you never know. You always have these teams that you just pinpoint, and it's going to be this team. It's going to be that year. But, yeah, there's one team above, like, the rest of the pack. So we'll get into that later. So
I mean, you even had two teams run the exact same trick play this past week. I mean, it's – it's crazy. It's really wild to me.
Nah, man. So, well, let's get into it. We talk about the one dumb in the team. We just going to go ahead and talk about them first. So, the 49ers pretty much just stomped the Cowboys. I mean, it was one of those that just started the game to finish the game. It was just pure domination. So, first of all, how serious should we take the 49ers here, Paul? Because a lot of us, I know on the show, we kind of elevate them to our pretty much one of our better teams, but they did it again. you know, and they're beating the team they're supposed to beat, like, dominantly, except for Warren. But let's talk about them, man. Like, what's should we be taking them serious, even though it's all the way into week five?
I mean, they're the most complete team. I mean, even offense aside, just how they play defense, you know, Bosa and Fred Warner and those guys are out there just wreaking havoc every play. I mean, Fred Warner had a forced fumble, a sack, and an interception. That's like the trifecta for a linebacker. You know, it's Brock Purdy's just on a whole other level right now. I know he's got a ton of weapons on offense. So you could look at it that way. Like, oh, he's got Christian McCaffrey. He's got Debo Samuel. He's got Brandon Ayuk. He's got George Kittle. But the way that he's able to get those guys the ball, and whether that's a complimentary thing to Shanahan's offense, just of just him just getting the ball to whoever's open and letting them make plays, they're clicking on all cylinders. Like, I know you have teams like Philly who, you know, they're undefeated also, but there's no slow starts for the 49ers. They just get out ahead of you and they just full throttle the whole way. And Dallas, unfortunately, you know, learned that the hard way, which, I mean, again, a lot of questions about Dallas now. I know obviously the 49ers won, so there's going to be a lot of talk on the 49ers, but there's a lot of talk in Dallas. I mean, you got to look at things. You got to really assess things because, again, they've beat teams they were supposed to beat. Obviously, they lost to the Cardinals, but I think there's bigger things going on there, and you have to really sit and wonder if Dak Prescott's the guy in those big games that can get them, you know, to a playoff push or potentially a Super Bowl, as Cowboys fans say every year. I just know that the eye test on Dak Prescott Sunday night was not great. You know, they lost a lot of guys. You had the veterans on that team that held them together, the Ezekiel Elliott's, they had Amari Cooper last year or a couple years ago. They had all these guys that were just there, veteran guys that could help Dak Prescott out. And if their defense can't stop anybody, you just have to worry about if they can make a play. Because if you hold down CeeDee Lamb, I don't think Tony Pollard's good enough to carry that offense. And when Dak's given the ball away three times, you're in for a long day. So, you know, shout out to the 49ers for real, because they exposed Dallas big time.
Yeah, 49ers really just put a lot of pressure on the Cowboys. And this is the 49ers that, through five games, they got the second best ranked offense, the first number one ranked defense, and pretty much they create turnovers in a way that just really, really put a lot of pressure on your defense on their side of the field, getting this good field advantage and everything like that. The 49ers, though, man, they're deep. They really are. I mean, from the tight end position, from the wide receiver, their running backs are solid. D-line, I mean, we can just go on and on about them. I mean, I know the weakness that we pinpoint with him is their quarterback, because he's young and he's getting experience on the way. And just credit to the coaching staff, Kyle Shanahan and his group getting this guy ready. They came close a few times, you know, getting to the Super Bowl, coming up short. But they're there. And I feel like as long as they stay healthy, they can definitely knock on the door again. Maybe push, you know, I know a lot of us kind of favorite the Eagles. Unfortunately, I know they're in your division, Paul, so you care about the Eagles. But nonetheless, it's those are we thought the Eagles for sure is going to be the class in the NFC. But on to your point about Dallas, Dak, here's the problem with Dak. You know, they put a lot of money into that quarterback position. You got to end up paying these positions. You couldn't pay Zeke anymore because he's older, obviously. So you went to Tony Pollard. CeeDee Lamb is pretty much their main threat as wide receiver slot. They had a duo with him and Amari Cooper a few years ago. So now you're just really trying to build around your quarterback. And they have draft well on defense, but as far as offense side of the ball, it's where they're really struggling at. Dak is still part of the problem, but the way the team composition on offense is definitely something they need to pinpoint. So it just makes you wonder. There's always going to be a lot of pressure because Cowboys are supposedly America's team, so the spotlight on them is just going to be huge. And this was a big game for them to kind of put themselves in the echelon of the 49ers. And even if it would have been close, even if it had been a close game, we could at least say, hey, they had home field advantage, they came through, but they got just annihilated. So the 49ers, rightfully so.
it's just bad because, like, I don't know what's wrong with Dak. I know he's had some injuries, but guy's not running. Guy's just in the pocket, just a straight liability. He's not extending plays. He's not running on third downs. Like, it's really bad. And there's just it puts so much pressure on those other guys. And they just, aside from CeeDee Lamb, they don't have that guy. And it's crazy just how much they invested in the defense and how many guys they let go over the last few years. I mean, they got some young tight ends. They got a bunch of young guys aside from CeeDee Lamb. You know, I know Gallup has moments here and there, and Turpin had a big play the other day, and then he got hurt, so he's probably out for a little bit. So it's just tough, man. Like I said, as their schedule gets harder, it's going to be interesting to see what happens to Dallas, because I just don't think they're a team that's going to be able to win big games against, you know, the top defenses in the league. And, you know, that's not good if you need Dak to make a play for you.
And this is the thing you got to worry about, too, with the Cowboys, is we already projected the Eagles to come out of that division. So most likely they're going to be a wild card, and they may have to run to the 49ers again at Levi Stadium. So I know Michael Parsons felt some type of way about Greg Kittle and the way he had this, what he's perceived to disrespect him. But at the end of the day, they beat you 49-10. There's not much you can really say. I know Michael Parsons got on his podcast and ran off on that. End of the day, they beat y'all by 39 points. There's nothing much more you can't say in regards to that. So 49ers, damn good team. They look solid, and they look great. And they rightfully so should be the favorite going through week five for sure. All right, let's move into
14 straight touchdowns for Christian McCaffrey too. So, I mean, that guy's just a touchdown machine, and he didn't even do a whole lot. That's the scary part, is he didn't even do a whole lot. He, you know, he had maybe like 60 yards rushing, a couple catches here and there, but they just blew the top off him with their defense, forcing turnovers. And obviously, you know, George Kittle having three catches for three touchdowns is a hell of a day too.
They rotate through their skills for having a big game. First it was Ayuk, then it was Christian McCaffrey, and now it's George Kittle. So, like, it's just rotating through there. And then it's probably going to be Debo Samuel next game, so. Good team.
It's a damn good team
for sure. Yeah. All right. So the Pats laid up a goose egg against the Saints. Mac Jones was benched in the game. Thoughts about Mac Jones being benched, first of all, and this whole Bill Belichick experience that's going there now after Tom Brady. What's your thoughts on this New England Patriots situation?
Mac Jones stinks. That's it. I mean, the guy got benched again, and I know they keep saying he's the starter and he's this and he's that, but that guy's not it. And I know they don't have, you know, they lost Jacoby Myers from a year ago. They lost some guys, you know, but without a quarterback, I mean, Zappy might be better than Mac Jones, but for some reason they just keep sticking with Mac Jones. Like, you know, I saw a thing. Mac Jones has more pick sixes in the couple years he's been with the Patriots than Tom Brady's had his entire, you know, 20 years with the Patriots. Mac Jones is just giving the ball to the other team. He's making bad plays. Tom Brady never really made bad plays. You know, having a reliable quarterback is a big deal, and Mac Jones just ain't it. I mean, these last 2 weeks, they lost 34-0 this week, and then they got stomped last week too. So something's going on in New England. And I don't know if it's a issue with the offensive coordinator. I don't know if it's an issue with whatever. I don't know who's calling the plays over there anymore, because they rotate guys in and out and they bring guys back. Then they get head coaching jobs and they leave again. I know they had Josh McDaniels for a little bit, and all these other guys come in and out and they get head coaching jobs. So I don't know who's calling the plays on offense, but that offense is bad. And the defense can't do anything if your offense can't stay on the field. So I would like to assume that they would figure it out, whether they make a trade. And I know everybody's making a big deal about the Jets potentially trading for a quarterback, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots end up trading for a quarterback, maybe get them a Kirk Cousins or somebody like that can come in there and have some veteran leadership and they'll try to do something, but they just don't really got weapons. And that's, I think that's the problem, is Tom Brady made anyone he played with look good. And it's remarkable to see that, you know, all these guys that play with Tom Brady, and you put that same kind of talent around Mac Jones, and your team is literally going backwards. So it's crazy to see the Patriots be this bad, to be the worst team in the AFC East. But, you know, if anyone's going to make an adjustment, it'd be Bill Belichick, you'd imagine. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, the whole Mac Jones, I know the game he was benched and he went 12 of 22 and had 110 yards and two interceptions. And it's just it's his offense coordinator, which is now a third one. And the last one was a defense coordinator year before. And Bill O'Reilly, who's now his offensive coordinator. You know, I want to sit here and make a excuse for Mac Jones. You know, I know Hunter, who is it? Hunter is his best. Hunter Henry is his best pretty much option to pass the ball to. So there's a lot of really just not a lot there. And that's the thing about Tom Brady being so great. He may, you know, just mayo out of mayonnaise and just make a tomato, turn it to ketchup. Like, he just seen the main thing work. And Tom Brady should have, you see now he's getting more credit than he should have. But Bill Belichick part is, you know, since 2020, this team is going 26 and 29. Had one playoff appearance. Bill is also running the operation as far as like the draft and his GM duties. He's got a GM duties and the coaching duties. It's a time that you just got to step back and focus on what you know how to do very well, what you know how to coach. I think they only had like two All Pros since Tom Brady left, and one was the punter. So that just tell you that it's a problem, man. It's a problem. So I just feel like Bill Belichick needs to take a step back. Robert Kraft needs to step in and say, listen, you need to just be the coach, or he's just going to make a difficult decision. Like the NFL, the college, you can stick with coaches like that. But as far as like NFL, they're very cutthroat when it comes to coaches, even though it just hit that, what have you done for me lately? This man only won you six, you know, Super Bowl titles. So, but it's quickly how they forget when that happens. So what's your thoughts about Bill Belichick and the situation he's tied up in being a GM and a coach? Is that affecting, in your opinion, the job that he's doing with the Patriots?
I mean, I think you have to look at it as the fact that he's the GM and the coach. I mean, if he was just the coach, I don't think you could look at it that bad. But the fact that he's making a lot of these decisions and a lot of these guys he's bringing in, a lot of these guys he's letting leave, you got to look at him. I mean, it's all going to fall on him, and I'm sure he's man enough to take all the responsibility. He's been doing this for a really long time. Guy has a fantastic track record. You know, teams aren't built to be as good for as long as New England was. And, you know, sure, a lot of it was him and Tom Brady. And again, like I said before, look at all the coaches under that Bill Belichick kind of coaching tree that went on to get coaching jobs. A lot of them didn't succeed either. You know, so it makes you really wonder how all that stuff works collectively together. I mean, Tom Brady went off and won a Super Bowl with the Bucks, but Bruce Arians is also a hell of a coach. So, you know, with the right coaching, Tom, and the way Tom Brady plays football, he probably could have won Super Bowls with any of those good coaches that, you know, couldn't get through New England back in the, you know, the 2000s. So it's hard. But I just know you look at their roster on paper and it's not great. And it's just crazy to see them be outscored like 70 to 10 or something in the last 2 weeks. Like it's wild to see, because you're not used to seeing that kind of thing.
I'm a Bill Belichick team too. Very defensive minded team. And for them to get goose egg like that and allow that many points, very odd. That's one thing you expect from a Bill Belichick team. They're going to be very solid defensively. Always was good on the defensive ends and defensive tackles. And had solid linebackers and just like either stud or like a stud linebacker or stud cornerback or somewhere in the safety. So their defense is just falling off. I agree with you, Paul. All right, next question. So the Jags pull out another victory in London, and the Bills lost a lot of people during that game. So first of all, shout out to the Jazz. I know Kevin warned him to premiere the show, but
we got to show the 49 love because they're pure dominance. But what you thought about the whole Jab performance over there in London against the Bills, who's also supposed to be a contender as well?
I mean, Kevin won't like it, but keep the Jags in London, man. They do it big over there. They show up. Hey, they're seven and five all time in London games. So they're well above 500. You know, they seem to figure it out over there for some reason. I know it was tough for Buffalo having to, you know, fly out there, and Jacksonville's kind of got to stay out there. So it's a little tough on the travel side, but that was a game where Jacksonville looked like the Jacksonville I think that we all thought that they were supposed to look like, and everything kind of clicked for them. You know, Josh Allen had a turnover. We talked about that a few weeks ago, how if he's turning the ball over, you know, the you got to watch out for Buffalo, because if he's giving the other team extra possessions, you know, things are going to happen. Obviously, they had some injuries in that game, but, you know, hats off to Jacksonville. I mean, you know, ETN finally showed up big. He had a huge game. He had almost 200 total yards of offense and two touchdowns. You know, Jacksonville's right back in the picture at 3-2. You know, they were playing for a lot. They didn't want to fall too far behind. And, you know, that just shows them that they're trying to get back to where they need to be. And using that little London trip might do that for them. Interesting to see how they play when they come back. But, you know, Buffalo will be okay as long as they can get healthy. If there's a time for the injury bug, I guess you'd want it kind of now. But I wouldn't worry about Buffalo. I think as the season goes on, they'll be okay. It's just a matter of what Miami does, but
yeah,
you know, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, there's a lot of big games in the upcoming weeks, and we'll see where people are at, but Jacksonville needed that win more, I think, than Buffalo did with the Colts winning and with the, you know, all that stuff happening over there. So they're still tied for the division lead. So it was a big win for Jacksonville, and, you know, good to see Trevor Lawrence showing up and everybody coming out to play, because they had a lot of hype on their shoulders when the season started, and they had started off kind of rocky. So maybe a trip across the pond can get you that way.
Hey, to add to your point, they are also the first team to win two consecutive games in London. So Kevin might want to hate to hear that. They do well in London, man. But I'm sure Kevin
those early is games, man. Right those, now. Early, those early games. Those early games.
Nah, for sure. Jacksonville actually lead this season series 10-9. They won the last three out of their four games. Jacksonville is just one of those teams that seem to have the Bills number. It's just always those football teams that within a span of 3 or 4 years that just seems to own you. Some last longer than others, but it seems like Jacksonville really has, I don't know, they just really play well against Buffalo. I don't want to say they get into their heads. They just play well against them. It's nothing that Buffalo has done. I'm sure Buffalo won't come out and their Nets run a few games and look down at it is, but Jacksonville just had their number recently. So just seeing Jacksonville, though, shout out to them, because you got a target on your back. You know, you got more expectations. So it is when you got these expectations, you're getting prepped for, you're getting scouted for more. So these are going to be hard. These are going to be hard to win. I know the division, the teams that y'all thought was going to just pretty much it just run over, but, you know, they got a rookie stud quarterback in Houston and C.J. Stroud, and then Anthony Richardson, if he can just stay healthy, for the love of God. They got Jonathan Taylor back, so that division is a little bit more competitive than what we thought it would be. You know, for initially, we thought Jacksonville would just run through it, and Jacksonville got their work cut out for them. But this is good for their development in the long run. Just don't let them run through an easy bunch of games. Respond how you did against Buffalo. You were on the road. You won it where y'all usually been pretty successful at. Come back over here and start, you know, making some noise over here. The thing that killed me, though, was the Buffalo fan. Here's the thing. When you know that you kind of get beat for a team that's kind of been bad for just a little bit, they react a certain way. Like, you just forget that all the teams exist. So I know you only really just pretty much watch highlights of the Jags, and they don't ever give you a reason to watch them. So I understand, like, you probably are very ignorant to what they're doing. But if you really pay attention to football, you knew that they got a good young core. They got a good tight end, Evan Engram, that came from the Giants. So he's solid. So this is a good football team that's up and coming. Coached by Doug Peterson. He's a Super Bowl champion. So this is a good team. Trevor Lawrence leads all this. Calvin Ridley came back. So, like, for people to be ignorant to that and just laughing at the Bills fans making excuses about the traveling and how they play back-to-back and everything like that, football's football, man. Shut up. Nobody want to hear that. Nobody want to hear that. That you don't hear the Bills players complaining about it. Why the fans got to complain about it? Don't give them no excuse. At the end of the day, Jacksonville did what they had to do and beat y'all bus in London on a neutral field, at least. It wasn't like the Jacksonville was at home. They beat you on a neutral field. It's time for fans, whenever some of these teams that are now up and coming, because you don't watch them a lot, pay their respects, man. Jacksonville's a damn good ball club. And y'all need to start paying attention to them. So I want to hear about excuses of traveling and all that. I'm laughing at a fan tweet that just went off on just these. Just, and I'm glad people responded talking about, oh, this is from a Twitter. I wish I could have shared. I'm trying to learn StreamYard. So forgive me, guys. I'm going to learn a little bit more. But this loss is 1% on NFL. They gave Jacksonville an unfair back-to-back advantage and cannot control their reps. This lead needs to be held accountable for this one. No, they don't be held accountable. They don't be held accountable. If you know y'all played Jacksonville the last few years, they got y'all number. They play y'all well. You should have known this was not going to be an easy game. But that's what happened when some of these fans are just getting spoiled to that T, and it just happened. You got to give Jacksonville props, man. They did a good job in that game on Sunday morning, for sure.
And that should be one of those games that, like, you have circled on your schedule. Like, it's one of those games where Jacksonville's had their number the last few years, whatever it is. Like, you have to have that game circled and say, hey, look, we have to go out and we have to win this game. I don't care if you're playing in London. I don't care if you're playing in Jacksonville or playing in Buffalo. I don't care where you're playing. If you're playing anywhere, backyard football, doesn't matter where you're playing at. But that game has to be circled, and that has to be a game that you, as the Buffalo Bills, say, we have to go out and play the best football we've played all year, because people think that this team's better than us because they've had our number the last couple years. And, you know, Buffalo fans are some of the wildest fans out there. You know, they got a couple AFC titles, you know, AFC division titles. They never made it to a Super Bowl, but, you know, they haven't really won anything. You know, a lot of teams in that division were rebuilding the last few years. A lot of people are getting right. So it was really Buffalo's division to lose probably the last three seasons. And,
yeah,
you know, now everybody else is kind of catching up. And now it's the time where Josh Allen needs to, you know, put up or shut up, because he was the best quarterback in that division for the last couple of years. And now you got Tua healthy, got all those weapons in Miami. You know, there's still things going on with the Jets. We don't know what's going to happen with them. But, you know, either way, Miami's breathing down their neck, and it's going to be a foot race to the finish line between those two teams. And right now, much like we talk about with a lot of other teams in the league, it's just Jacksonville steps up in big games. They almost beat Kansas City. Obviously, they lost to Houston. But, like, against big teams, they show up, and they play well against big teams in big games. And then you have teams like Buffalo who go, they beat Miami, they hand it to Miami, and then, you know, they lose to Jacksonville, and everybody starts freaking out, making a big deal about it. It's just, you know, just 1 week at a time. You're still doing just fine. It's not a big deal. No need to panic. You know, I mean, there's a lot of teams that should hit the panic button right about now. About 2/3 of the league, I feel like, need to figure it out, but Buffalo's going to be fine.
I agree. 1%, man. So, hey, let's shout out the Chicago Bears. They got their first victory, 40-20 over the Commanders. First of all, hey, man, listen, Jacksonville had a heck of a game Thursday night. What do you thought about Jacksonville's performance Thursday night? I know there's been a lot of criticism with him, and, you know, they should just put their hats in the sweet states, but sometimes it's good to just tune in that noise if you're a fan of the team and see them get a win like that. So what you think about the Bears getting their first victory?
Yeah, I mean, I watched a good chunk of that game, and I think he can make plays. He can make the plays. You have to just put him in the right situation to do it. Obviously, DJ Moore helped a whole lot. You know, 8 catches for 230 yards. He had 3 of the 4 touchdowns from Justin Fields. But a lot of those plays were plays where, you know, you get the ball to your playmakers, let them make the plays. Justin Fields isn't running around trying to make all the plays by himself. You kept him up for the most part. I mean, he might have got sacked 4 times, but that's going to happen with a young, scrambly kind of quarterback. He's going to kind of hold on to the ball a little bit too long. But he didn't turn the ball over. And, you know, a lot of things happen when you turn the ball over. If you're not giving the ball to the other team, you're going to put yourself in a good position to win games. Now, Washington's not the best, but at the same time, the Bears defense played really well and the offense was looked unstoppable. So we'll have to see if that could, maybe they kind of figured something out, maybe something clicking now, see how they roll up here in the next couple of weeks. But you know, it was good to see the Bears and get a W and people kind of get off Justin Fields' back, because you know, he's had some changes. He's had some things happen, and he just needs to someone needs to put the confidence in him that they're going to trust him to make the right play. I mean, he's still going to run. He still ran for 57 yards, but he threw for 282. And most of those runs were, you know, extending third downs, extending the field position, keeping the drives going. He was running when he had to. He wasn't running because he can. And I think that's the big difference you're going to see versus, like, you know, how someone like a Lamar Jackson right now is doing in Baltimore, where he is literally 95% of the offense. I think Justin Fields is going to realize that he's got some guys around him and they can make some plays as long as he gets the ball to him. I mean, Herbert's a decent running back. DJ Moore on the outside. You got the matchups out there. Just don't give the ball to the other team. And then, you know, stuff like this happens. So obviously it's easy when you're playing ahead. They got on the board early and they never really looked back. Can they win from behind? I don't know. I would probably say not. I think Justin Fields will start pressing a little bit, and that's where you get kind of in the territory of him making a mistake. But just, you know, take some pressure off your young quarterback and just let him go out there and play football, and I think they'll be okay.
Any given Thursday. So, hey, the Bears and the Panthers, who we think they're the bottom, you know, the teams that's pretty much struggling right now. So I will ask you this question, Paul. Who's the first one to get the three wins? And I'm going to give you the next five, who they're playing the next five here. Is it going to be the Bears or the Panthers? So the Bears are playing their home against Minnesota, home against Las Vegas. They're at the L.A. Chargers. They're at the New Orleans Saints, and then home against Carolina. Panthers is at Miami. They got a bye. Then they're home at Houston, home at Indy, and then they're at Chicago. Who you got who's going to win? Who's going to be the first one of three games here? Or do you see them even getting three games in this stretch right here?
Oh, well, the Panthers are losing all of those games except for the bye week because they're not playing. I mean, that's their safest game in that five-game stretch. The Bears could legitimately win maybe three of those five games. I mean, the Raiders aren't great. Vikings aren't playing well. You know, so that's two right there. Obviously, the Los Angeles Chargers is a tough one. They're kind of figuring it out right now. They're playing pretty well. But, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they won two or three out of that next five. That's a pretty nice kind of schedule against teams that are kind of struggling. I know the Raiders got a win last night versus the Packers, but Green Bay and Jordan Love over there have a whole other situation going on. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears – they probably win 5-6 games this year. Maybe they get hot.
Yeah. I put my money in the Bears when I do see the Panthers possibly. They could surprise Houston. Maybe. But Chicago is probably going to be up there for grabs, depending on what you get with Justin Fields and how's everything. Like, it'd be interesting to see that game just to see where their records are and what it could be. But yeah, I can definitely see the Bears potential winning three of those for sure. So probably get a little bit of heat off Mr. Fields back there. So, all right. So now it's time to break down our team's performances. Mr. Johns, G-Man, I'm pretty sure both our segments are going to be short and sweet, but you want to break down your Giants?
I mean, what is there to say? I mean, I thought it was going to be way worse than it ended up being. I mean, they kept it close for a little bit there. They had that 102-yard interception. Yeah, they got within a score. They just don't have the firepower to hang out against a team like Miami. Like, Miami just got too many weapons. It was a mismatch from Jump Street. You know, Daniel Jones is still running for his life out there. I sent out a tweet the other day said that Daniel Jones plays football like a rich white kid who stumbled into a bad neighborhood, just running for his life the whole time, like just scared out of his mind. And he got hurt. Apparently his neck's hurting a little bit. So, you know, who knows, man? There's all kinds of chatter going on about what they're going to do with Brian Daboll and what they're going to do with all this stuff come the end of the year. But let's just hope that Daniel Jones stays alive and doesn't get killed out there, because you put a lot of money in that guy, and, you know, it is what it is. But I didn't have high expectations for this week because it was at Miami. So I'll let you have the floor there, pal.
So this was the one chance that I thought the Broncos could have got a second win. It was their best opportunity, because now this schedule, it just gets brutal for a bit. The Broncos just flat out stink, man. They just stink. They're not good. They're just terrible. The run defense, what I mentioned in the past 3 weeks, has just been absolutely atrocious. Like, if you're a running back, a halfway decent running back, and I know there's been a lot of chatter about the decline of a running back, play the Denver Broncos. They seem to not know how to stop the running game. We just traded, you know, Randy Gregory, who we thought would be a good piece for us. And I guess the schemes of the defense just 1-2. But it is what it is. Gregory, you're a system player. So if you was that special, you can know how to figure it out. So we trade you for sixth round draft pick for the 49ers, which I already know he's going to look pretty good in the 49 uniform, because he's got all that defensive help around him. So he's going to shine. I already know it is what it is. We got something for him. We save a little bit out of his salary. So it is what it is. I just really want the Broncos. As much as I love these guys on my team and I want them to stick around, you know, listen, I've grown accustomed to rooting for Jerry Jeudy and Courtland Sutton. And my God, man, I love Justin Simmons, man. Like, that dude, he plays hard. He's deserving of all the accolade that comes his way. And, like, this man was an all-pro, say, the last few years. They kind of held the team together. But he deserves better than this. And I don't want you to stick around for this, man. So whatever we can trade you for, do good by Justin Simmons. Trade him to a contender. Get Jerry Jeudy for anything you can. Anybody want to pick up a piece? Courtland Sutton, too, deserves to be on a good team. Such a good dude, whatnot. We'll just roll with Marvin Mims. And keep Pastor Tan just to kind of build around that. Make a decision on Russell Wilson, what we're going to do with him and his contract. The Broncos just a bad football team. So whenever you see the schedule for the Broncos are playing and you just say the Broncos' name, just huff and puff and just, because guess what? I'm a fan of the team, and even I'm doing that. Just downright ugly football that I'm seeing. And Breece Hall just shred us up. And then, hey, not only do we get beat by the Jets, we go to a short week, and we play the Kansas City Chiefs. I hate the Kansas City Chiefs. I really do. I really just can't stand them. But it's like one of those that you just can't say anything, because you know that they just that much better than you. This is like the whole Green Bay Packers when Aaron Rodgers playing with the Packers and the Bears. They just dominate you. That's what Pat Mahomes just do to the Broncos. They just spank us just left and right. And all the Chiefs fans just enjoy it, because the Broncos for a while was the class of the AFC West. And we're now in the gutter of the AFC West. The Las Vegas Raiders are bigger than us. And that's painful to say, too. And they're bad. They're stinking bad, man. So I'm going to watch my Broncos. I'm going to support them. That's my squad. But I'm wondering how fast I'm going to turn up the game. I'm going by mid-second quarter. I go play some Starfield at that. I get myself mid-second quarter. Order some wings. Eat the wings. Then go play Starfield and be disappointed by my Denver Broncos. Pathetic, Denver. That was a pathetic showing.
Nathaniel Hackett, man. Nathaniel Hackett.
Revenge game. Oh, man, good dude. Revenge game. And Robert Saleh talking his trash. You can't say anything. I'm like, hey, it was that whole Cat Williams meme. Well, you shouldn't have been talking shit.
That's it.
Well, that's what happened. So let's move on before I start crying. Player of the week, man. Who's invited to the barbecue? Who's invited to the barbecue for you, Paul?
Man, I had a couple guys, and the more I look at the stats, George Kittle's my guy. I was gonna take George Kittle, 3 catches, 67 yards, and 3 touchdowns, and his little fuck Dallas t-shirt that he had on underneath. But Jamar Chase, apparently he is always open. So I'm gonna take Jamar Chase, 15 catches, 192 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Oh man, that's nice.
That man always open. So I'm gonna take Jamar Chase, and he can go ahead and bring Joe Burrow with him because my man finally had a little bounce back game for him. So it's good to see Joe Cool get some people off his back. I know they played the Cardinals, but kudos to those two. So I think Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow.
Hey, gotta win the games, man. So, all right. Well, since I heard this on Radio Live and the spanking is bad, Breece Hall, 22 attempts and 177 rushing yards with 1 touchdown. Jeez. That's a reason I picked him on my FanDuel. And anybody that plays against the Broncos runner, I'm playing him on my FanDuel because it's going to be a buy. Anywho, Breece, come to the barbecue, bro. I got some nice steaks waiting for you, man. Matter of fact, I actually got a couple of my Broncos defensive linemen over here cooking it for you. You want a baked potato, bro? Some mac and cheese? What you got? Hey, I need you. Mike Purcell, give him a plate, bro. Anywho, Breece Hall, you're coming to the barbecue. Congratulations, man. Hell of a game against my putrid Denver Broncos run defense. Theme, just rip on my Broncos the whole time.
Guy coming off an ACL injury, just blowing it out.
Which he also, he got hurt last year playing the Broncos and had a big, was heading to a big game.
Yeah.
So
he blew out his ACL, yeah.
He loves playing Denver. But luckily for him and the Jets, he stayed healthy enough for this game, and he looked good, man. So, get you a plate, bro. I got you, Breece Hall. And you're looking great, looking healthy. Stay healthy, my man. All right. BIOC's top 5 teams. We already know who our number 1 team is going to be. I think we both agree that it's the 49ers. So, Paul, who's your 2 to 5?
Two, I guess I'll put Philly just because they're 5-0. So Philly will be number 2. I'll still put Miami at 3. I'm going to put Detroit at 4.
Ooh,
and,
nice.
You know, for many a weeks, I had the Ravens up here, but turns out they got problems. So I'm going to slide the Kansas City Chiefs in at number 5.
So we picked the same 5, but not in a different order. Eagles will agree on. I pick Eagles at number 2. Chiefs is at 3. I bounce them up there. And they're going to dominate the team they're playing on Thursday. The Dolphins is at 4. And the Lions is at 5. So, yeah, that's why I got. Detroit is just playing pretty dang well. Dan Campbell got them guys playing good football. And as long as they keep, you know, making noise and making a run, Detroit's going to remain my top 5 for sure. So, all right, we're going to progress into KC's week 4 picks. I'm actually going to move this on here, but Paul is going to read over the list. So let's go ahead and add this on. And Mr. Mac, I'll let you take over KC's picks of the week, sir.
All right, well, before we get started, let's recap week number 5. I came in at 8-6. Mr. Kevin Carter, 9-5. And Mr. Cortez Paul, 9-5 as well. So two big winning weeks in a row for you, my man. That puts the overall standings. Kevin is 44-34. I am 45-33. And you are 48-30.
That's what I'm talking about.
So my man
slowing down winning right now. Let my Broncos.
My man's cooking.
Hey.
There it is. So we got Thursday night, short week for Denver. Denver at Kansas City.
Who did Kevin pick?
I gotta find it. Let's see.
Oh, you got the tweet or his text?
I got his text in here.
We already know who he picked, but yeah, we already know who he picked.
100%. Yeah, so Kev got Kansas City.
Kansas City, and it hates me to say that because I can't stand them. But I hope Broncos find a way to beat them. But my Broncos defense is just so stinking bad. I don't know what how many adjectives I don't use on this podcast to describe my Broncos, but it's pretty pathetic. Chiefs win, unfortunately.
I'll take Kansas City as well. Chiefs win big. We got Baltimore at Tennessee. In the words of Kevin Carter, fuck Tennessee. He went with the Baltimore Ravens.
I do agree. I think the Baltimore Ravens get this one as well.
Baltimore scares me, man. Like, they don't have – they just – their offense looks broken. And these are those kind of games where it might be close. And I just don't know in Tennessee. What
to expect from them.
Yeah.
Like, no, this is – hold on. This is a 9:30 game, man. Where's sure this is. At?
Yeah. NFL Network. It's in London, I believe. They're the London
game. Oh, yeah. This is in London. Yeah, this is another game out of – oh, okay. Yeah. Another neutral game.
I'll take Tennessee just because I don't trust Baltimore. Baltimore needs to show me mm-hmm. something because aside from Lamar Jackson, that team is not doing well right now. So I'll take Tennessee.
Doing a lot of injuries first, too, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. First 1 o'clock game, the Commanders at Falcons.
You know what? I'm going to Falcons. Falcons look solid. They've been I know they bounced back last week, so I'm going to Falcons. What Mr. KC pick?
Kevin also is taking Atlanta, and we'll just make it a clean sweep. I'll take Atlanta also at home. All right.
Nice.
Next, we got the Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears. A battle of 1-4 teams.
Call me crazy. But I think the Bears get a two game winning streak here.
Oh, 100%. Because the Vikings fucking stink.
I knew you was gonna follow up with that.
I'm gonna take Chicago. And Kevin is also taking Chicago.
Wow. Okay, we all pick Chicago? That's crazy.
Yeah. This is a team I kind of forgot about because they had a bye last week, but the 3-1 Seattle Seahawks. Going against Cincinnati Bengals. So this could be a game where we kind of see what Seattle's got.
They go back to worrying about the Bengals. I think the Seahawks are going to come back. Seattle win this one.
I'm going to ride with the Bengals. I think the Bengals figured something out last week. I think they got momentum on their side. Ja'Marr Chase is happy. Joe Mixon showed up a little bit. I think they'll be okay. I think this is the point, and this is the part where I keep mentioning Baltimore because Baltimore had an opportunity to get way ahead in that division, and if the Bengals start to get hot, you got to worry about Baltimore. So I'm gonna take the Bengals, and then Kevin went with the Seattle Seahawks as well.
Okay, he's a closet Seahawks fan, by the way. He
loves Geno Smith, man. You know that. He loves Geno Smith. Yeah.
He was a big Russell Wilson guy over there, too. So he always – I feel like he always leaned toward the Seahawks.
All right, next, 1 o'clock, 49ers at Browns. Is this even a discussion? Or are we just going to skip over that one? I think we all kind of probably go in the same way.
49ers. I don't see no surprise here. 49ers in dominant fashion.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, San Francisco. We all went with San Francisco as well. So everybody got San Francisco.
Okay.
Next game, the 0-5 Carolina Panthers versus the 4-1 Miami Dolphins.
Dolphins.
Yep. Fins. Dolphins. Fins across the board. Kevin takes Miami as well. Next game, back home from their long trip in London, the Indianapolis Colts are at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Both teams 3-2.
Is Anthony Richardson back?
No, he's going to be out for a few weeks. He has a AC joint sprain in his shoulder or something like that.
Gardner Minshew homecoming? What? Nah. Gardner Minshew back in Duval. Jags will win. I would have considered the Colts if they had Richardson for sure, but Jags will win.
Yeah, it's hard to go against the Jags after the last couple weeks they had coming off that big win at Buffalo. I will take Jacksonville, and as we know, Kevin is also taking Jacksonville.
Oddly enough, though, Jacksonville, the Colts left because sometimes we're from Florida, so we get a couple of these games here. Jaguars has always been dominating the Colts there, like, so it's always been like blowout games when they play the Colts, like in Everbank, so or whatever they call it, they feel now. I think it's Everbank still, but whatever the TIAA feel, I think that's what they call it now. But they always beat them pretty bad there. So you go into the next guy. I just want to add that, make Kevin feel good about his Shags.
The New Orleans Saints, the 3-2 New Orleans Saints at the 2-3 Houston Texans.
Who that? I go with the Saints. Who that? Who that? Who that?
Yeah, I'm gonna roll with New Orleans. They were still my pick to win that division, so I'm still gonna go with New Orleans. CJ Stroud's playing it. Some great football, but I just don't think he can do it by himself. So I'll take New Orleans. Then mm-hmm. Kevin also will take New Orleans. All right. So speaking of little kind of, you know, revenge games and whatnot, we got the New England Patriots at the Las Vegas Raiders. So a little Jimmy Garoppolo, New England situation.
New England stinks.
They do.
And I can say that because my football team stinks. And they're going back to Mac Jones. Why am I picking AFC West teams, man? Golly, the Raiders win this game. And this pains me to pick them, too.
It's going to be a matter of who turns the ball over more, I think. Because Jimmy Garoppolo, that guy is a walking interception also.
Very, so, very true.
But the Raiders do have a way better defense, and they got way more weapons. So I'm gonna take the Raiders. Ooh, big game at 4:30. The Detroit Lions 4-1 at the 3-1 Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, okay. Now they played a few years ago, and the game was. I might be wrong. I thought it was close. I can't remember. But I, once again, guys, we're in Florida, so we see a lot of Bucks, Dolphins, and Jaguars games. So. They just happened to come on. I feel like this game was close. I may be wrong. Anywho, Baker Mayfield had a fantastic showing at College Game Day. I'm sure he's feeling pepped up about his Oklahoma Sooners pulling off a big upset. But can they upset the Detroit Lions, though? The answer is no. The Lions won.
Yeah, I'm gonna take Detroit. Detroit's playing real good football. You know, Tampa is coming off a bye, but Detroit's just rolling right now. David Montgomery is on one right now for Detroit. What a pickup by those guys to get him. And Laporta, the tight end, young stud tight end university, doing big things out there. I'll take Detroit. And then Kevin is also going to roll with Detroit.
Nice. Clean sweep.
Sunday night, prime time, NBC. Why are the Giants on TV again? the 1-4 New York Giants at the 3-2 Buffalo Bills. I'll go first, man. Buffalo Bills gonna absolutely destroy this team. It's not even gonna be close.
The Bills got their swagger back. Yeah, your team is also brutal too, man. And Daniel Jones gonna miss the game too, possibly. Possibly. Still wouldn't matter, but the Bills will win.
Yeah, nothing like having to potentially rely on go from Daniel Jones to Tyrod Taylor. It's fantastic. Great. Awesome. Kev also will go with Buffalo. And then hopefully this is the last time we see the Giants on TV before they play, unless they play Philly or something again, because that's always on TV. But yeah, we'll just whatever. And then Monday Night Football. The Dallas Cowboys coming off of a nice curb stomping from the 49ers. Are playing the Los Angeles Chargers. Chargers coming off a bye.
Two teams.
So Cowboys are 3-2. Chargers are 2-2.
These are two teams that had expectations, now in the middle of the pack. So we're dynamic. I know we did, kind of talked about Dallas at the beginning of the podcast. I still got Dallas being a wild card team. I still got the Chargers being a wild card team. It's going to be a fun game on about offense versus defense. They both got the Chargers got a great offense. The Cowboys got a good defense that just got exposed last week. But I'm going to Cowboys. Cowboys win on the road.
All right. Kev is going with the Chargers. And then because fuck Dallas, I will also take the Los Angeles Chargers.
All right, and that concludes KC Picks of the Week. Now, Paul, I know you probably saw SportsCenter and saw a little bit of this highlight here, but let's power to do two bigs last night. I'm going to NBA preseason here. It was Victor Wembanyama versus Chet Holmgren. Wemby had 20 points and 5 rebounds, and Chet had 21 points, 9 rebounds. What's your thoughts about these two gigantic big men that plays like guards and their skill set and what they put on display if you watch a little bit of SportsCenter and their highlights a little bit?
Those are probably two of the tallest, longest human beings I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. I mean, I remember Chet Holmgren coming out of college. That dude looked like an alien. I know he bulked up a little bit coming off an injury.
Yep.
And then obviously Victor Wembanyama is the most like hyped thing to come out of, you know, basketball in a really long time. So hopefully both guys have long careers. Like I said, Victor's been pretty much healthy for the most part, playing really competitive ball overseas. It's just going to be a matter of health, I think. I mean, when you're dealing with feet and ankles and those kind of things on a big guy, you gotta worry about it. But they both have all the tools. The Thunder might be the better team overall. I don't know where San Antonio is right now with their roster. I know they had a lot of guys, you know, changing around there, but they still got Greg Popovich. So it's a great guy for Victor Wembanyama to have as his first head coach in the NBA. But yep. No, I think he's going to be as advertised until someone figures him out. Obviously, I mean, there's not a lot of tape on him, but it's just the way those guys can get up and down the court, where they can handle the ball. It's a nightmare. Like, we all freaked out over like someone like a Giannis, but you had a guy like a Chet Holmgren or a Victor Wembanyama who can actually kind of shoot from the perimeter too. And it's scary, man. It's scary to see these guys with these massive wingspans just literally can get a rebound and within like 5 dribbles are at the basket. So it's exciting for basketball. Seeing these kind of matchups again, looking forward to these kind of things. So, no, I'm excited for the season to start. There's a lot of cool things to look forward to. I know it's only the preseason, but a lot of stuff to look forward to.
Listen, that battle, I was coming from work, so I had to listen to it on the radio. And I caught a tail end a little bit of it because the Monday night football game was kind of in shambles a little bit, so I kind of peeked between both of them.
It's a good word.
But, yeah. So, listen, it was cool, man, seeing these are – projected to be the top two rookies and contention for rookie of the year. And I'm still on the board of it's going to take Wemby some time to learn the game. It's easy to do that against a guy who's about the same size and Chet and Wemby. So it's, you got someone that's a stick figure and you're a stick figure. It's going to look good. But when you go against somebody like I know it's one-on-one, but like Jokic and Embiid and even some bigger guys that you got like Daniel Gafford that played for the Wizards, like he's physical. Wendell Carter Jr. for the Magic, he's physical. So like you got all these Zion bigger Williams guys in, that you got.
Yeah, one of these guys, yeah.
Just put exactly. Right, it's just chest. Yeah, so like it's going to be interesting to see how they deal with physicality. But look, they had a good display in last night. It was awesome to see Wemby had a move where he did a Euro step. Went up for the and did like a double clutch and went on the other side of the backboard with a layup. That's a 7'4" guy doing that. That's insane. That's impressive.
His wingspan's the whole paint, man. Like, what do you? Yeah. You know what I mean, like, yeah. That dude is and that dude's long.
Yeah, and he did this against Chet, who is a very sound defensive player. So I was like, man, that's crazy to see a 7'4" poor guy do a Euro step and then take it to the other side of the rim, double clutch, and then go on the other side of the rim and lay it in. He didn't dunk it. He laid it in. That's finesse. So that's pretty cool to see. The thing with Popovich, as you mentioned, he's got to really take his time with him. They already say going to game manage. That's why I hate the Spurs guy, like a lot of these national televised games, when Pop already came out and said, I'm going to kind of watch his minutes. So he already landed just face out there. He's not going to play all these high minutes and stuff like that because Victor body's just got to adjust. Chest body's got to adjust too as well. But so far, a fun preseason, a game between those two. This is why I like now they only do four preseason games because initially did like seven. So some of the stars wouldn't play at all. But now because you got to get into the groove quickly, some of them play about 15, 20 minutes. So, but listen, Paul, it's preseason basketball. You know, I'm a basketball guy. I'm super excited that it's just back in this form. Like tonight's games, we got 10 games tonight for NBA preseason. And yes, I pay my $15 a month for NBA League Pass, and my basketball team is going to be playing tonight, so I'm a little bit more hyped than usual. Haven't seen the Magic play in 6 months, at least from an NBA game. I watch Summer League as well. It's how insane I am, guys. I'm a basketball fanatic, as you know. Anywho, some of the games we got tonight, Luka already played a little bit. And apparently, he's got a calf strain, so he only played 5 minutes against his team that he was – I know these calf strains are just more common nowadays, but he played against his team and that he was drafted from Real Madrid. They kind of gave him a little honor, gave him the trophy that they won. I think 2017 is what they said. So he only played like 5 minutes, but it was pretty cool to see the bridge the gap. I think Real Madrid won because they played the Dallas Reserve. So I think Real Madrid won like 3 games against NBA teams. So good for them. We also got the Paulo Franz. They're playing against Zion and B.I. tonight. So Pelicans and the Magic play. I'm very excited about that. About to make me some keto pizza and drink my seltzers. And that sounds very weird, but I'm going to do all that. I'm prepping for this. LaMelo is playing Jimmy Buckets. You know, he's missing this supposedly sidekicking Damian Lillard. That's not there. Ice Trey is playing Spider. Here's I know Paul hate this saying, but hey, it's going to be freak time in Grind City. They're playing Memphis Grizzlies. So John Morant is a shooter on side and outside the court. Pun intended.
He can't play anyway, can he? He's still suspended.
I think he's playing tonight. I think he's playing tonight.
He can play preseason games? I know he can practice. I wasn't sure if he can play.
Yeah, I think he can play preseason games. I may be wrong, but I think I saw something he can play the preseason games. Nuggets, solid core NBA champions. They're playing the Suns super team a little bit in 15 minutes, so I'm pretty sure everybody's kind of reading about KD and all of them. I think they're on TNT. That game is on TNT tonight, so national TV. Paul George and the Claws playing the Finnish Killer in the Utah Jazz and Lauri Markkanen. As you see, I did all the talking, so I'm super excited about preseason. So super happy. I don't know about you, Paul, but I'm glad basketball's back. I got a few home games I'm going to next week, so super excited, man.
Yeah, you can get those Magic tickets for pretty cheap. And I know you're a season ticket holder, but if you're not a season ticket holder, you can get those little monthly fast break deals for like $50 or whatever it is. Get you a couple home games. So I've been thinking about those games this year.
And the cool thing about that, Paul, if you do that, if you look at the games for like on a month-to-month basis and you don't like them, just tell them not to charge your card. You look at the next month, like, oh, I like these games. They can charge my car. So you can just choose when you want to go to a game or a few games during the month. So just trying to poop out there for my local people in Orlando that want to go to the games. The Fast Break Pass is definitely a bargain. But because I'm a insane, chaotic, hardcore Magic fan, they get my money like it's a Disney annual pass. I pay money to go to them games. So this time they're supposed to be pretty decent this year, so what's that it look like? But a basketball preview's coming. I'm working on getting a Magic roundtable with some of the Magic fans on Twitter, so we're going to do like a roundtable with them. It'd be pretty cool. And then me, Paul, and Kev have touched bases on doing a NBA preview, which I know Kevin will say he'll show back on up. So, but yeah, basketball's back, man. I'm super excited.
Sports are in full swing, man. Sports are in full swing.
Absolutely. Baseball, you know. Phillies had a good comeback here, too.
Braves. The Braves came back big. Phillies had a no-hitter.
Yeah. That's what
Phillies had a no-hitter going into the sixth inning, up 4-0, ended up losing 5-4. That's tough.
Absolutely.
Dodgers are down 2-0 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Some weird stuff happening out there in the world.
Oh, man. All right, so let's close this bad boy up. Paul, you got anything else to add? We good here?
No, man. I just hope that when we record the show next week that there's a lot less teams that stink. I just hope everybody kind of plays the way they're supposed to. So I'm talking to you, Baltimore. I'm talking to you, freaking whatever. Vikings, you're still going to suck. Doesn't matter. But, you know, I just want to see the teams win that are supposed to win. It hurts my soul looking at these picks, and it's just so many teams just are still trying to figure it out, and we're going into week six. So it's going to be an interesting football season. You know, we're third of the way through it. And going to see what happens. I know basketball's picking up, so it's going to be a lot to talk about, and I'm just looking forward to being along for the ride, man.
Absolutely. All right, well, guys, well, make sure y'all stay tuned for me and Paul. We try to record this every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So we'll be back at it. Football, basketball, NCAA. We'll definitely cover the highlights of all those three sports. Maybe plug in some good stuff there. Paul, tell the people where they can find you at. You should see on the banner now. It's updated.
I'm on X at @the_Paul_Mac, and I'm on Instagram at I think it's PaulMac520 on Instagram.
Sweet. You can follow me at Etz, Twitter, whatever you call it nowadays. I know some people still call it Twitter, call it Etz, whatever, Elon's app. You can find me at @NTheMinusCP. That's also you got that on a few things that I'm on as well too, but definitely Twitter and S is where I'm at with that handle. If you want to follow the podcast, we're at BIOC Podcast. That is also on Etz. That is also on TikTok and Instagram. BIOC Podcast. If you go to, we got a TikTok, baby. Let's go. I do some little short edits and get it going. So we're also, you want to go to Facebook, type in Bosnia Court Podcast. Anchor, which is also Spotify for podcasters, that can you just type in anchor.fm/Cortez-Paul. You can also find us on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Windows, Anchor, Spotify. And as Kevin liked to say, wherever you find us before, but maybe I asked Paul, what do you say, man? Wherever you find us before, you want to create a new tagline.
Hey, wherever you get your podcasts. There's so many apps.
There we go.
Wherever you get them, whatever you're listening to, we're on there.
There you go. So
invading your ear holes.
Exactly. So, hey, well, check this out, guys. Thanks for listening to me and myself and Paul. Speaking for Paul, Matt, Cortez, Paul, Bosnia Court Podcast. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, evening, and we'll see you again soon.
Take Paul's care, guys. Paul's Court Podcast. There it is. First episode.
Boom.